honeysuckle is one of my favourite summer flowers, still in full bloom in August as it clambers through the hedgerows. Honeysuckle always smells fabulous, but its perfume becomes even more intense after dusk falls to draw in the night flying moths that pollinate it. These moths, in turn, are a lure for bats, who love to feed on small moths. So I always think of bats when I come across some honeysuckle. Bats live to their teens. They have only one baby each summer, and they maintain family connections year on year. To me, they are the most adorable little creatures. Tiny, fragile, wide-eyed and furry. Contrary to popular belief, bats have perfectly good eyesight. Being blind as a bat is just one of the many common misnomers about them. A bat can eat about 3,000 midges every night, but they don't catch these with sight. Instead, they search in their dark for the tiny insect prey with ultrasonic sound. Ultrasonic simply means that the sounds are too high-pitched for our ears to detect. Bats emit sound pulses that bounce off trees and other objects, and the sound pulses return as an echo. The bats listen for the sound bouncing back off objects, gauging distance according to the time it takes for the echo to return. This is echolocation. The reason that these sounds are ultrasonic is not so the bats can escape our notice. It's simply a matter of physics. Longer sound waves bounce back off bigger objects, and tiny sound waves bounce back off tiny things. Sound waves of high frequency have short wavelengths. Most of our bats produce pulses of sound that last only a few thousandths of a second, perfectly suited to catching small insects in flight. At first, when the bat sets out in search of its next mouthful, the wavelength is longer, bouncing back to the bat to help it map out the location of trees and branches in a series of sonic snapshots. As it zooms in on its insect prey, like a tiny night-flying moth, it emits higher-pitched sound pulses because the smaller wavelengths collide with insects that are just millimetres in size. When listening to bats with a bat detector, the incrementally decreasing wavelengths as the bat hones in on its prey is called a blackberry, and it's a real revelation to tune into. I can't explain the blackberry terminology, but it makes sense when you hear it. Venturing out at dusk with a bat detector is an awesome revelation. Just when daylight fades and the evening seems perfectly still and quiet, switch on the bat detector. These nifty little machines can transform the evening's soundscape into a wondrous realm of rapid beeps and buzzes, making audible the incredible sounds of bats catching midges and moths all about. By August, baby bats are just about weaned from their mother's breast milk, learning to fly and using echolocation to catch their own dinner. Bats are really small, weighing an average of about 7 grams. That's about as heavy as a few paper clips. So it came as a surprise to me to learn that the sounds they emit in echolocation are several times louder than the legally permitted level of loudness at a nightclub. It's just as well these sounds are outside our own range of hearing. The other more obvious thing that bats have evolved to catch insects in aerial flight is wings. Bats are the only mammal that can actually fly. Being mammals, their hands are not unlike ours, except that their fingers are enormously elongated and carry a double layer of skin between them, like the ribs of an umbrella. Having 4 nimble fingers running through the wing membrane means that they can make precise maneuvers in flight. Watching bats at dusk, it's easy to see the difference between their flight and that of birds. Bats flitter about and change direction swiftly in a much more staccato movement than birds. A big advantage, if your custom is to chase tiny flying insects through the canopies of trees and hedges, guided all the while by sonic echoes. I imagine that bats live in a much more three-dimensional world than us. They roost high up in the hollows of old trees or roofs. They weave their way through treetops by night. They have almost no contact with the ground, so that space extends below them, as well as above and all around. Their view of this ultra-3D world is assembled from snapshots of returning ultrasonic sound waves. It's as though they inhabit a parallel dimension, an alternate experience of the very same world, same but exceedingly different.